All right, I want you to take your Bible and turn to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Tonight I'll preach and teach on something that most of you have never heard before. I'm going to talk about sports and the Bible. Sports and the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. If you will, please, go ahead and stand. 1 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to find verse number 7 and verse number 8. And the Bible says this, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of that life that now is and of that which is to come." We use those verses to get us started tonight, and let me pray for us, and then I'll tell you some things from the Bible. Lord, bless us tonight. In this generation, in this society, they don't associate the Bible and sports as being connected at all, but obviously it's in the Bible, so help us tonight. Help us to do what we do according to your word. Now, Holy Spirit, take the sermon and help someone. Maybe help someone that is here physically tonight. There are others that will listen in CD or on the internet. But God, most of all, may you be pleased with what I say. I pray, Lord, that we'll be better Christians and have a better grip on this thing about sports tonight than when we started tonight. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I think most of you know Super Bowl is, I think it's Super Bowl 53 is just a few days away. And I'm good with that. Are there any Los Angeles Rams fans in here? Okay, Kenny, that's it. Okay, there's two, all right. So then, are you New England Patriot fans? How many New England Patriots? Are you scared to death to say you're a fan of anything because you have no idea what I'm about to say about sports? You're being smart. You're being smart. You said the Vikings? Is that a team? Is that a professional team? Is it a men's team? Okay. He said the Vikings, but okay. Well, now, young people, earlier I gave you some instruction. Now look right this way and listen very, very carefully. I enjoy sports. I've enjoyed sports growing up. I started just like all little boys, grabbing the ball and throwing it and having a good time, and started playing Little League. I started playing Little League before I was supposed to, and virtually I snuck in to play. I was so embarrassed, I have to tell you. I snuck in. I'm sorry, I did not tell the truth about my age, but I wanted to play baseball so bad, Little League. I rode my bike out. I signed up, and I told them how old I was, and I was about, you know, a foot shorter than everybody else, and they're saying, "You're how old?" And I told them, and they thought, "This can't be so." They gave me a uniform. The sleeves were about 18 inches past my hands, and we had to fold the pants up over and over and over again, and I looked like Jethro with a belt made of rope trying to hold the britches up so I could play baseball. And that, so I enjoy sports. There's a sports language in the Bible. The Bible talks about sports. I'll give you some examples. I think we see archery or the bow and arrow. Psalm 64, verse number 3, it says, "Who whet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows," even bitter words. There's the mention of archery in the Bible. Swimming is mentioned in the Bible. Isaiah 25, verse 11, it says, "And he shall spread forth his hand in the midst of them, as he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim." Then running is mentioned in the Bible, and many times, I think, sprints, cross-country, track-type language. Let me read to you a little handful of verses about running. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we are all compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Not only is God talking about running a race, there are actually stands where people are watching the race to be run. Then, in Psalm 19, verse number 5, the Bible says this, "Which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse number 11, it says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. So, there again, it's talking about running quickly. In 1 Corinthians 9:24, it says, Know ye not that they which have run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. You say, what's that teaching? It's talking about running a race. How are you to run? You're to run with all. Why? You ought to want to win the prize. And so that is a little bit more than what they do today. They want everybody to get a participation certificate. Yeah. God said, I'm glad you get a precipitation. I'm glad that you'll get a certificate for being involved. But he said, if you're going to get in a race, run. Run. Put your heart into it. Wrestling is mentioned in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12, it says, For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Some of you will really like this. Hunting is a sport, and it's mentioned in the Bible. Some of you haven't said amen all year long. Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 5, it says, Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. So here is someone that is hunting deer, and here's someone that's hunting fowl or birds. And that's not done at Kentucky Fried Chicken, just so you know. Here is another about hunting. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 27, it says, A slothful man roasteth not with that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. And what that's talking about is that you should eat what you hunt. So going out and poaching, I think that's wrong. Right. But I think if you shoot something that it was intended then to be eaten, and that's what the Bible's teaching there. Probably the sport of horseback riding, and in many ways is mentioned throughout the Bible. But I'll just read one verse to you, Joel chapter 2, verse number 4. It says, The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so shall they run. And it's actually talking, they're giving attention to the running of the horse, and there's somebody's riding that horse. There is trapping. Any of you outdoorsmen, we're not talking about hunting now, but actually trapping. Any of you ever do any trapping? We did some trapping when I was growing up. Leviticus 17, verse number 13, it says, And whosoever... And whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel or of the strangers that sojourn among them, which hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl, they may be eaten. So it's not talking about just shooting an animal to eat. Now it's talking about the trapping of an animal. Then there is the sword is mentioned often. There are, of course, there's fencing. Fencing is a sport. I'll just use one that is a comparison of the sword to the Word of God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Boxing is found, I believe, in the Bible. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 12, it talks about fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. And so it's talking about fighting the good fight. It's virtually a sports type of a phrase. I have to put this in here. I think it's funny. Here's baseball in the Bible. It's found in Joshua 4:20. It says, And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And so baseball is in the Bible. And then one of my favorite, one of the only places where sporting is mentioned in the Bible, in Genesis 26:8 it says, And it came to pass when he had been there a long time that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. And you say, what is that? That's kissing, and God considered it a sport. And some of you need to get better at that kissing stuff with your wife. God called it sporting with Rebecca. But I love sports, and I think this. I don't know what you think of boxing. I think boxing is inhumane. It should probably be outlawed. But until it is, I'll watch every boxing match I possibly can. I don't think you ought to get in a ring and beat the stuffings out of each other. But if you're dumb enough to do it, I'm dumb enough to watch it, because it is pretty entertaining to me. And I love baseball. My grandfather on my mother's side was a pitcher at a farm team in Milwaukee, and I grew up throwing baseball and playing baseball. My dad boxed heavyweight golden gloves in the state of Ohio for some years, and so you name the sport, I enjoy sports. In high school, I got to play football and baseball and basketball and track and cross country. I have to tell you, I never played tennis. You say, why? The guys that played tennis had little turtles on their shirt, and it just always bothered me that they had those little turtles on their shirt. You say, well, what did you want on your shirt? Well, in most cases, blood. Where I grew up, you wanted blood on your shirt, not a little turtle. But if you played tennis, I'm proud of you. I'm glad for you, and you wear all the turtles on your shirt that you want to. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 22, he said, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The word subjection there means a bondage. In other words, Paul said, I really need to keep my body enslaved so that I do not become a slave to my body. So he was talking about the body and how the body needs to be in subjection. And I think that's one of the purposes of sports. It teaches us how to control our bodies. I not only enjoyed playing sports, I had the privilege of coaching. And I enjoyed coaching. I coached over 50 soccer teams through the years. I've coached high school basketball and baseball, and I developed more than one intramural sports program for schools. I like sports. I'm for sports. But I think it's like anything else. There is a right and wrong way to handle what we do. Colossians 3:23 says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. That means even sports. It said, and whatsoever ye do, it's to be done unto the Lord and not unto men. Now, there are some that would like certain parts of life to be kept away from that verse or separated from that verse. But I'm very sorry. When he said whatsoever, he meant everything. In other words, whatever we do, whatever we participate in, it ought to be done God's way, and we ought to be in subjection to the Lord. So I believe this. I believe God has a plan and a purpose. If something is worth doing scripturally, then it's worth doing God's way. And all I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to you some about that. Oh, eventually we'll have Twin Rivers Baptist Academy up and running. I'd want you to know kind of the approach to sports for our Christian school, and even in the college. We want to make sure that what we do it scripturally. I'm going to be extremely practical. I don't think I'll be lengthy. Of course, you know how that works out. But I'm going to, first of all, I want to give you some good reasons, or well, maybe even excellent reasons for having sports. Why would we have sports, and why would we be involved? Let me give you a verse, first of all, and it's somewhat like the one I just gave you from Colossians. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So I think what we do is to glorify God. And that means in this realm of sports. Now, I'm going to give you some reasons for sports. I think, first of all, I think sports can be very good for the physical development. I think it helps I think sports can help a young person to develop a better ability to work. I've through the years have, in the secular arena, had some young men come to go to work that were so uncoordinated they were dangerous. And I'm not trying to be silly. They didn't know how to handle themselves. I think sports, young people can play sports, and sports can teach them some coordination and how to handle themselves. I think sports develops one's physical balance. I think, for instance, and you can figure out what this means, but I don't think boys ought to walk like sissies. I don't think boys ought to throw like sissies. I think they ought to learn some coordination. So I think sports helps one to physically develop. I think girls, there's nothing wrong with girls participating in sports as long as they stay modest and they do it properly. I don't think girls should be so weak and anemic that they don't have strength. That's not a good thing. Neither do I think they ought to be going around beating the boys up all the time. And so there's an overdevelopment. And so you understand in our society today, they really want to sell this thing of women and sports and everything. And I'm not against ladies in sports. If they're going to stay modest, it's going to be handled right. It's done right. I think it can develop a young lady to learn some coordination. Hey, just as well, like I said a moment ago, there are young men that I have tried to work with that were so uncoordinated, they were dangerous. Some of you ladies, you know, there are girls that they can't walk up the hallway without stumbling over everything all the time, and maybe a little athletic involvement would have helped them to learn enough coordination so they were not dangerous at home. And so I think the physical development is one of the good things about sports. I think this also. I think secondly, self-control and discipline can be learned through sports. A good sports program will teach someone how to control their temper. Now, if you would have ever played for me, you would have learned to control your temper, or you would not have played for me. In other words, you were taught that you didn't spout off to the officials, and you weren't losing your temper all the time, or I'd set you on the bench. Wonder if I'm the high point man, then you're the high point man on the bench. Because high points is not as important as you learning self-control and discipline. But self-control and discipline can be learned in sports. Self-control is necessary to truly be a success in the Christian life. I think sports properly approached is teaching temper control. I think it's properly approached is going to help a young man or a young lady learn how to control their emotions. And God knows we need people to learn how to control their emotions. Did you know I learned something about me a long time ago? I would like to tell you all the name of my greatest human enemy, the person that hurts me more and that gets me down more than anyone else in this world. His name is Jeff Owens. Jeff Owens gets me into more trouble than anyone. And some of you say, yeah, that's the same guy's getting me into trouble. Sports can teach you to control you. We are to be disciples of Christ. What does that mean? We are to be disciplined ones. We're to discipline ourselves to obey. So I think there are benefits. There are excellent reasons for sports. I think it will develop you physically. I think it will help you to develop self-control and discipline. I think sports can help you to learn how to follow. It teaches followership. Young people need to learn how to follow directions. They need to learn how to follow rules. They need to learn how to follow authorities. Jesus said that servant is the greatest of them all. That servant is somebody that is following the instruction of somebody else. I think sports can help someone to learn respect for leadership. I don't think that when somebody is a coach, I don't think the team members ought to be spouting off, talking back to the coach. Just like I don't think that children ought to talk back to mom and dad. I think there's sometimes a child just needs to keep their mouth shut. And I think there are times that you learn that in athletics. I think sports can help us to learn that thing called followership. It can help us to learn to abide by an official's decision. And you say, but wonder if you disagree with the decision. Oh, you will. You will. But I do need you to understand you're not always right. And someday you'll be the official and you'll figure out how hard it is. But I think that when you're involved in athletics, it can help you to abide by an official's decision. Not always easy. I think that we're talking about fellowship now. I think it teaches you teamwork. I think sports is a part and a part of fellowship is becoming a part of a team. There's nothing like in the church having a group of people that can work well as a team, but you have somebody that's not a good team player, and they mess up the play, if you will. No, you need people that are good team players. It's a very important part of things. I'll not say who, and I don't think anybody here would know this person at all. Man that I knew was a businessman, and he wrote a book, and he went to a church that I went to, and he wrote a book about athletics, and I sold a few copies of it. I may still have a copy somewhere, but this man, I remember the day that he turned on my pastor and became my pastor's vicious, vicious enemy. And I didn't understand it. And to be honest, he had no valid reason to do that. But I'm going to tell you, something occurred to me. After he did that, I pulled out the book that he wrote. And he talked about all the sports. He had one chapter on the sports that he was involved in when he was young. He played tennis. He played golf. He was a skier. He did fencing. He did boxing. You know what I noticed? No team sports at all. He was a one-man band. So he never learned to follow in his athletic training. And I thought, it's no wonder he could not become a part of the church team. He had spent his life in athletics where he was a soloist. When the pastor wouldn't let him take charge, he threw a fit, took his ball, and went home. So I think sports will help you and I as Christians. I think it can help our young people. It'll teach them fellowship. And I have to tell you this. Earlier I said this when we read the verse about one who runs a race, they run all to get the prize. I happen to believe that you ought to play to win. Now, I don't think you ought to play to hurt someone. I don't think you ought to cheat to win, but I think you ought to play to win. Our society, we are training a lot of wimpy, casual people. I happen to believe if you go to war, you go to war to win. That's a real good idea. And I think if you're going to play, play to win. Now, I think there is a way. I think you ought to be, a good loser. But I don't think you ought to like losing. I don't think you ought to like losing at all. We had some kids that went to a tournament, and they played in a tournament, and they had gotten trophies for like third place at the tournament where they played. I got a call from a coach on the way home, said we stopped at McDonald's on the way home and all of our boys put their third place trophies in the trash can at McDonald's. I said, did they have bad attitudes? They said, no. I said, let them leave the trophies in the trash can then. I don't mind it. If they don't like to be in third, maybe they'll work harder the next time. But they weren't cussing. They weren't mad. They weren't nasty. They just wanted to win. And you might say, well, Pastor, I disagree. Let me tell you something. America better want to win. If we don't want to win, the countries that want to win will take us over, and Christians better want to win. And there's an element of wimpy leadership in this world today that's it's all just fun and games. And I happen to disagree with that. Now, I think that you should be a Christian loser. When you lose, you should have a good attitude. I don't think you ought to be throwing a fit. I don't think you ought to be cussing. I don't think you ought to be doing any of that. But I'll tell you something. When you lose, you shouldn't be happy about it. The liberals would like you to be happy about it. The liberals are the ones that say, just love everybody, including the devil. Well, phooey on that. I'm not going to love the devil. It's not everything's all right. But I think that we ought to train people to win. And then train them how to behave the right way when they don't win. But I don't think they ought to like it. So listen, parents. If your child is in an athletic event and they don't win and you have a little bit of struggle with the loss and their attitude, good. Good. Now, I think you ought to insist that they have the right attitude. Yes, but don't you knock all the grit and energy out of them. We'll have a bunch of wimps to run the next generation, and that won't cut it. That won't cut it. We'll just have to support them all while working people. Do the hard stuff. Okay. All right. So every once in a while when I teach, I apologize. My opinions come out. Now, so I think there are excellent reasons for sports. I think the physical development, self-control, discipline, fellowship. Then I think there's an element of leadership that you'll learn. But I want everybody to know, I think you can learn real good leadership if you'll just learn fellowship. I think the purest form of leadership is really it's fellowship. I think good leaders are good followers, and they should. So I think you ought to just set out to be a good follower. But you'll learn to lead. If you get into athletics, you'll learn to lead. I think you ought to learn to lead by example. I think you'll learn to lead without being abusive. And there are ways to get that done. So I think sports can teach us leadership. I think it can teach us fellowship. Now, when it comes to sports in the Christian realm, like at a Christian school or in a Christian atmosphere, what it'll do for you, it'll keep you from being associated with a bunch of lost people. And if you're not careful, if you get desperate for athletics and then you place yourself among a whole bunch of lost people, you do understand that that's going to affect you. When the day comes and we have our Christian school here, we won't be playing public schools at our school. We'll play other schools of like faith and practice and standards. You say, well, that will limit us some. Well, it won't limit us with God. And so I'm not worried about limiting what in the society's opinion. But that we'll play against those that believe like we believe because of the separation issue. So I would also say this to you. When it comes to the Christian realm and sports, I'd be careful that I don't think there's anything wrong. I asked earlier if somebody like the Los Angeles Rams or the New England Patriots or the Dallas Cowboys or the Vikings. I don't mind if you like some team. But I would tell you this. Your professional sports are pretty filthy, and the athletes are pretty filthy, and the cheerleaders run around half naked in their outfits, and the Budweiser commercials that you put yourself through. I have a feeling that some of that the Lord sure doesn't appreciate, wouldn't you say? I every once in a while I'll watch a little football or something like that, and I'm not against people doing that, but I am telling you, you want to be careful what you subject yourself to. There are reasons. There are good things that come from sports. I think that boys and girls. I think sports can help a boy to develop into manhood. I really do. I think boys need the exercise. I think boys need to learn some aggression. I was so tickled when I was coaching at a Christian school soccer. They would not allow us to have football. Or they would have let us have football, but the expense for the insurance was so high we couldn't afford to insure a football team. But they said, but you can have soccer because soccer's not a contact sport. I got to tell you something. In soccer, you just don't have many pads. I know you have a shin guard. It's like a piece of cardboard that's wrapped around your shin and your sock. But boy, was it aggressive. But it was good. I watch boys that would come to play soccer that wiggle when they walked, when they started playing soccer, but we pretty well knocked that out of them by the time the end of the season had gotten here. I think boys need to learn some assertiveness and some aggressiveness. I think girls need to learn coordination. I think everybody needs to learn not to be quitters. It's good to get knocked down and to be scared and to be behind and learn to get back up and go again and try again. I would say this, I don't think boys ought to be feminine any more than I think girls ought to be masculine. I think sports are good for girls to the point that if suddenly they begin to be masculine and they'll hurt that feminine part. God created men and women different, and it's supposed to stay that way. And we're not to be crossing over. That's not how God intended it. So don't let the world's philosophy of sports destroy you. I'm not against girls participating in sports. Again, if it's done modestly and decently and right. But it's there for these reasons, and boys need it as well. I think it's a wonderful thing if you have godly coaches. Godly coaches can be a tremendous blessing in a sports program. My mentor taught me, he said, probably in a Christian school, the most influential person in the school is a coach. Because boys want to play sports so bad, that coach has a lot of influence. So you say, well, what would that mean to you? Then if I were going to hire a coach, I'd hire a coach that was a soul winner. I'd hire a coach that was faithful to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I'd hire a coach that believed in separation so he could influence my boys to be the right kind of a young man. Because he's very influential. You hire a coach because he can dribble a ball, but he won't come to church, and he doesn't love the Lord, and he's not sold on the King James Bible. You just gave the most influential position in your school to somebody that's going to influence your boys to be liberals. Happens all the time. Now, I think that you hire a coach that's a good Christian, then he can use that influence to help the young men to be good Christians. Now, I've given you some reasons that are good. They're good for they're excellent reasons for sports. I said the physical development, self-control and discipline, to learn to follow, to learn to lead. For in Christian aspect, there's separation from the world. There's godly coaches, and then I want to throw this in here. I think when you play sports, you're supposed to have fun. It's a game. Right?
Yes, sir.
It's a game. I think when it loses all of its fun, I'm not real sure what you're doing. Sometimes parents are looking for self-gratification through their children in sports. But the truth is, I gave you a lot of good reasons for sports. It's not that a parent can fulfill their dreams. You might have been a flunky athlete and you'd like your child not to be. Okay, listen. But let's not take all the fun out of it. When I coached, we played, and we played hard. And we won a lot. But we had fun. We had fun. We enjoyed it. Remember, it is a game. Now, let me give you a couple other points and we'll be on our way. Secondly, the Bible says bodily exercise profiteth little. Now, I didn't say that. The Bible says that. 1 Timothy 4:8, it says, for bodily exercise profiteth little. But godliness is profitable unto all things. Now, does it profit us to exercise? Yes, it does. But God is saying spiritual strength is more important than physical strength. And I'll tell you, parents, let me tell you something. Leaders, influential people, let me tell you if you're thinking right. Are you more interested in your children? Are you more interested in those you're influencing and them being strong, sold out, dedicated Christians than you are them being successful athletes? See, the Bible says bodily exercise profiteth little compared to what? Spiritual strength is what will make you a success. Now, it did not say bodily exercise does not profit, but God was putting a premium on godliness and minimizing the physical. Now, sports can help someone develop spiritual ability. I do not claim to be a good leader. But to whatever degree I have developed a few leadership skills along the way, I learned some of those skills in the athletic world. I learned how to shut my mouth when the leader was talking. I learned how to work as a team. I learned how not to quit when I was laying on the ground with my face in the mud. I learned how to get back up. I learned how to have a coach in my face giving me the what for and being able to take it and know that he was telling the truth. I learned that when I dropped that ball, it was my fault, and I could whine and cry to mommy, or I could suck it up, stand up, and try again. Amen. I learned a lot of that in athletics. So there's things that can be learned. But I would tell you this. Don't let sports become a god to you.
Amen.
You say, how do you know? Well, if you usually come to church on Sunday night and then you don't come to church to stay home and watch a ball game, I would guess then you're letting something take God's place.
Right.
Don't do away with your separation standards for the sake of sports. I've watched families that have separation in their family, but they go and they get involved in a sports program and they give up their separation and their standards so they can play sports. I don't think you have to give up sports. You just have to take a stand standard-wise.
Right.
But they do it. They do it. Why? Because sports are more important to you than godliness.
Right.
And let me tell you something. Later on, when your children are breaking your heart, sports will not bail you out.
Right.
Sports are not running to your aid. They're not going to solve those problems. See, where do I get the problem solved? You'll need to get back to God, the one that you threw under the bus for the sake of a ball. The answer to some folks, your health issues, is exercise. There's some people in here, if you just do some exercising, you'd be far healthier. So, I'm for bodily exercise. But remember, compared to godliness, sports is to be minimal. Then, there are a couple wrong reasons for sports. I think Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 23, let me read a verse to you. The Bible says this. It says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. I think sports, one thing you've got to be very, very, very careful with sports is pride.
Right.
Pride. Boy, it can go to your head. You begin to develop physically and you win and you're doing well. The Bible makes it pretty clear that pride goeth before destruction. So you're going to have to control your pride. There's some things about sports that can hurt us. The thing of pride. Could I recommend that you're careful about the worship of the body? Boy, when I was growing up in high school, now I didn't do this, but I can tell you there were guys that when I was in, and I didn't get to go to the Christian school, I went to the public school, but there were guys, they were pumping iron all the time to play football and basketball and everything. I couldn't describe to you how vain they were. They'd pump and get themselves oiled up and they'd be in the locker room doing this. Get this! The other guys were looking at him going, yeah, I'm over there going, don't you guys get close to me.
Amen.
Two guys looking at each other all oiled up going, oh, yeah, I'm going, oh, no. When come down to that, I just leave me chunky. I don't want you looking at me like that. Folks, today, the worship of the body is out of control. It's out of control. Watch your pride. In the sports arena, the subject of nakedness is everywhere. You say, well, they don't have nakedness in sports. I think you need to read what the Bible says nakedness is. It's everywhere. I think they're in sports, sometimes there's an attitude where they're actually out to hurt someone. You know, I can tell you this. I have watched two men box to the point where somebody got knocked out, but they weren't enemies. They get up and was over with. It was over with. They weren't mad at each other. They didn't hate each other. But I will guarantee you there is hatred and revenge and violence in sports where they're actually out hurt people. I don't think Christians are supposed to participate like that. So I think you've got to watch your pride. You've got to watch the nakedness. You've got to watch the worship of the body. You've got to be careful that you don't hurt people. And you can do whatever you want. I've never in my life recommended to anybody that they make professional athletics their purpose in life. You say, why? You won't be able to come to church. If you don't believe me, show me an athlete that goes to church faithfully. Why? Well, they got to be on TV. They got a game. I'd be very, very careful ever submitting myself to something that won't let you go to church. And I know you said, yeah, but I seen this quarterback and he stood up and he said that he loved Jesus. Yeah, but which Jesus? And you really want to check into what he believes? probably not even saved. Now, if there are saved professional athletes, I am for them. I'm for them. But I would say to you, most of the case, it's a spiritual front. It's a spiritual front. And it's not what you would love to think that it is. So, I think there are good reasons for athletics. I think bodily exercise should never be placed above godliness. And I think that pride and some other things can really, really taint athletics in one's life. The Bible said, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come." I realize for some of you, you've never heard anything like this before. I tell you what I would do if I were you. If you say it's a little mentally challenging to me, get your Bible out and study it for a little while and see what you can figure out about separation in sports, and do some research with your Bible. And I think you'll find I've not said anything that's wrong. I've said things that rub this society wrong. But the Bible's always going to do that. Always do that. There are some in here, sports is way too much. It's way too big in your life. You would make a decision for sports today and throw God under the bus in a flash. You need to get that under control. I think there's some of you say, "Well, I don't have any need for sports." You probably need to go run a mile. Probably need to throw a ball. Wouldn't hurt you to learn to shoot a gun. Amen. Wouldn't hurt you to learn some things that would develop your coordination. All right, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you've never been born again, I welcome you to the Savior. You ought to get born again. If you're here tonight, you've heard some teaching, some very practical teaching about the positives of athletics and some of the negatives. And let's let those things help us. You young people that are in school right now, if you're going to play, play hard. But if you're going to do it the right way, the Christian way. Hey, and don't you be throwing God under the bus so you can play ball. You do the right thing.